Hail, cathedral, hail, alma mater, hail. We will give our all for thee, purple and white. Over all the land, we will spread your name, in defeat or victory. All hail, cathedral, hail.
Oh, my glass broke.
Holy shit. Oh, shit.
I had mess around.
I had the baby glass.
Oh, hey, at least it was a BJ's Brewery glass.
Yeah, I think it was a boot.
On that, welcome to the Walt and Bond Show, the pilot number 31. Bonds, how are you doing?
Not very good now.
All right. Well, you know what? Let's take a break. What a great way to start the show. There you go.
That's what I want.
So, Fonz, you just freaking smashed the pint, man. You're taking it to the next level over here.
Hey, man, I've been missing. I missed all Oktoberfest, so I got to do this shit right.
Exactly. And this is a freaking Oktoberfest proper, because we got freaking beer master in the house over here.
Hell yeah. We got Gabe over here making. He brought us some beer. It's going to be a good day.
Gabe, you brew?
Yeah, so I've been making my own beers since right off college, and it's been going great, man. You know, started off with little batches of extract, and then I just been just going at it for a while, quite a few years.
Gabe, before you were a master brewman, you were our friend. We went to high school together.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
You don't remember. You always bully me around and kick my ass, but it's pretty cool. Hence the alma mater. That's pretty dope.
Hell yeah.
And Gabe, you brought Josh along. Josh, what's up?
Not much, man. Just drinking beer. Enjoying company.
Yeah, you too. You're also a cathedral alum.
C-A-T.
So this is pretty cool. It all comes together. We old high school friends. We got one's a brewmaster and two are podcasters, and that sounds like a good recipe.
Yeah.
And Josh. And Josh.
And so that means don't go to cathedral or what?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. This is a don't go there show. All in all, it's our podcast, the 31.
Damn, yeah, man.
31. So we're holding strong. We're doing all right. We recorded earlier this month, and now we're recording November 1st. So it's been a while. What's been going up?
Oh, man. I'm just happy drinking beer again, dude. I'm glad to be in front of the microphone and shit, man. It's been a long, long month. I missed all of Oktoberfest, so I'm sort of just happy to have a beer in my hand.
Yeah.
So let's just get this party going, man. Let's do it. Shit.
I got to tell you, it's one of my favorite times of year. I mean, you have Halloween, you have Oktoberfest, you have the fall. Football is strong. Baseball is in playoffs. Basketball just starts. I mean, it's one of my favorite times of the year.
Yeah, and I'm doing good in fantasy football, so I'm fucking happy, yeah. Dude.
That's cool. Gabe, Josh, you guys play fantasy football?
No, not recently, though. I don't know about Josh over here.
I have a work too busy brewing. That's about it.
Okay. Hey, too busy brewing. Yeah. So tell us, man. So what? How did you get into this? What got you into brewing?
It's kind of interesting. So right out of college, I was dating who is now my wife, and she bought me this little beer kit from Walmart, and it's a little freaking little brown thing, the beer, didn't look too appetizing on the picture, but it was something that my future wife bought me, and she was really excited because she knew I really really loved beer, so I gave it a shot. It was supposed to be this yellow looking fizzy looking lager, right? And it came out freaking red and muggy, and I totally bombed this thing, right? But then my father-in-law, who at the time wasn't my father-in-law, but father-in-law now. We ended up drinking this beer, and it was just freaking bomb, dude. It just tasted great. And till now, I still don't know how the hell I made a lager turn into a freaking red ale, but somehow it ended up happening, and the beer was freaking fantastic. So after that, I decided to throw that in the trash and decided to actually go with a, you know, a bigger production right off the bat. So I started doing almost every weekend. I started brewing, just started messing around, making some beers. The beers, you know, started coming out better and better. And then just about, I would say about 6 years ago, I decided to go, you know, all professional with, you know, just all grain. So it's just grain, water, yeast, hops, and you get beer. So basically, I'm at the point that I could have any beer, like I'm drinking something from Stone. I could, you know, basically decipher what's in it and be able to make something pretty similar out of it just with water and grain and yeast.
That's incredible.
You That's
make
awesome.
It, you make it sound so simple. I can tell you that probably 80% of our listener base has probably tried making their own beer, and probably about 99% of them, because of you now, you're the one percenter, 99% of them has probably failed. Yeah. What was the kind of beer that you made when you drank it and you're like, oh, I finally made beer? Not like slob or like when you're like, wow, this is, I finally did it.
Like, so you know what you're actually doing, you know?
So, you know, I'm always really critical of what I make, right? And I got to say, the first time I actually made a beer that I shared with people at a party, and everybody was amazed, like, you made this? No fucking way. You actually made this? And everybody thought I was lying. Everybody thought I had, you know, gone somewhere and, like, poured beer in it and closed up my freaking growler, you know? And then it started showing up to my house, and, you know, I got a big old setup in my garage. It looks like a brewery. And they started tripping out. I was like, dude, you're making this beer? This is freaking amazing. And when everybody's having a good time, you know, and drinking the beer, and then I'm, you know, I have folks that drink nothing but Bud Light and Miller Light. They're coming over now, and they're drinking real beer, and they're having a good time. They're getting buzz off the beer, and they're enjoying the flavor. And now they're, you know, setting aside the Miller Light, the Bud Light, and they're, you know, they're looking for craft beer. You know, I thought it was freaking pretty amazing. That's the moment I felt like, all right, you know, I'm making something that's actually enjoyable. You know what I mean?
Sweet. What kind of beer was it?
So the first one I made was a honey blonde. So I made something that was very light in the sense of the palate with the hop profile. And I made something that was a little lighter on the alcohol, but not lighter than light beer. So, you know, a light beer is going to run you about 2.5% ABV. And the beer I was making was about 5%. But it's not like an IPA, like this is an 8%. You know what I mean? So it's not going to totally blow your mind away. But at the same time, it's going to have a lot more flavor. It's going to taste like a light beer, but it's going to give you a punch. You know what I mean?
I don't know, man. You tell a bunch of college dudes, I got a strawberry blonde in my house. That's going to be like, that sounds amazing. At the beginning of your story, I was like, are you talking about like you're doing weird? Is that like weird science? Like you were making your model girl?
Hey,
like,
you know, and talking about science, it was a trip, dude, because I ended up moving up. Actually, I ended up marrying my wife, you know, the girlfriend that bought me the first kit, right?
Yeah, because the strawberry or the honey blonde wasn't a person. Yeah, it was beer. Yeah. And you're like, oh, okay.
So check this, right? So I started getting serious once we moved into this house in Chino, and I started brewing in the backyard and doing my thing. And one day, dude, I just had Chino PD showed up to my house when in the middle of brewing.
What?
And they started, you know, looking around. They started being real assholes, right? And they started pushing my stuff around. And I had flask out, and I had, you know, it looked like a meth lab if you walk in. Literally, if you walk in, you know, I had like yeast growing. I had all kinds of stuff. And, you know, it looks like a freaking meth lab.
Do you have naked chicks with hairnets? Separating.
Hey, that's a cleaning crew.
I like your style.
No, but so this guy walks in, and then the other guys out back, you know, look out, holding onto his gun. And I was like, hey, you know, what are you doing over here? And so I started talking to the guy. I was like, hey, man, you know, we're just making beer over here. And it was, he started telling me, isn't this illegal? I was like, actually, it isn't. You know, if you actually state law California allows it.
The cop was telling you, isn't this illegal?
Yeah, and then I was
shouldn't
like,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I should have told him. I told him, you know what? You know, my understanding is that California, you can make up to 100 gallons of beer legally, as long as I don't sell it. And this is just for my personal consumption. And he's walking around. The other guy comes in, and just to make a long story short, before they left, they wanted to come back after the shift was over to try the beer.
Awesome, dude. That's when you know.
Yeah.
That's
a
sign. You're like, all right.
Yeah, definitely a sign.
That's cool.
That's fucking great. So where do you buy all your supplies at? Since so you're all just barley, just straight up, no more syrup or no more stuff anymore?
So it's all.
Does that make a big difference?
It's a huge difference.
Yeah.
So just even the water. So I'm lucky enough where I live, the water's actually pretty damn good. I've made beer in LA and downtown, and the water. Not that great. So you got to filter the shit out of the water. The water out there is actually not bad. So I just use a basic filter to get out, you know, anything else, like impurities, like chlorine and stuff. In regards to grain, there's just stores all over the place, dude. It's just home brewing supply stores. You go and you get yourself some sacks of grain, and then you mill it at home. You do your thing. It's not that hard to get. You get them online, you get it delivered to your house in a few days.
How much was your first batch, and then how much are you making per batch now?
So my first batch was the little beer kit that I told you guys about,
and
right?
How many?
And that was 2 gallons of beer.
Okay.
So now I'm making anywhere between the 10 and 15 gallons of beer at a time.
Yeah. Wow. How do you, you know, you see when you grab beer, there's always like the alcohol content, right? And it varies with different kinds of beers. Do you have control over that? Or how does
Absolutely.
How do you manipulate
so,
that?
So now that you're, so you're talking about making beer from scratch, you have total control of that. So basically in the brewing process, you have two different types of grain, major grain you want to call. You have your base grain and you have your specialty grain. Your specialty grain is going to give you your flavors. It's going to give you your color. It's going to be red, dark, whatever, right? Your base grain is going to give you your sugar base. And your sugar base turns into alcohol with the yeast. So the bigger your base grain is, the more alcohol you're going to have in your beer. So if I want to make a beer that's going to be anywhere between 5%, usually you're going to have, you know, for a 5 gallon batch, you're going to have, you know, maybe about 8 pounds of base grain. If I want to double that and make it a 10%er, then I'm going to double the base grain because then I'm going to have a lot more sugar in it.
And then also you have to vary the yeast, right, that you use because some yeast dies at a certain percentage.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you have different types of yeasts. This is a whole different variations of yeast. That's a whole different world. So so you have for different styles of beers, you have different types of yeast. And each yeast also gives you different off flavors. You'll have a yeast that'll give you a flavor of banana. You'll have a yeast that'll give you flavors of strawberry. You have yeast that'll give you flavors of plums. I mean, you name it. There's all kinds of yeast strains. And some yeast strains are really, they survive in high alcohol environments. So like if you're making like a big beer, like a, you know, a double IPA, you know, you got to have a special yeast that you throw in there that once it starts producing alcohol, it could survive. Because then if the alcohol level gets too high, a lot of the yeast just dies. It just cringes. It's alcohol. Gotcha. You know what I mean? And you have this freaking kick-ass yeast that goes in there freaking, you know, freaking leather and whips, you know, just freaking doesn't give a shit, you know? And they're kicking ass and taking names, you know? And it keeps going and going and going and going. And then you have other yeast strains that have a little bit different flavors but can't survive in that environment. So
can you change the yeast? Can you, like, go in one batch and, like, well, that same batch that you put in, put one type of yeast, and that shit dies out, and then put another type of yeast to give it two different kinds of flavors?
You can. I never experimented that way. Oh, right. I had a friend that did that, and he would put two different types of yeast in. You could also harvest it. So let's say you make your beer, and then you siphon it, you keg it, and you do your thing. You're going to have a big old barrel full of yeast that already did its thing. Yeah. You could take that yeast and then reuse it.
And how do you, like, store it? That's all, I knew you can, like, save it and stuff, but what do you do
the
with
yeast
it? Like, how do you put it back to sleep?
The yeast?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the yeast you keep in vials, like the ones that you see, folks making meth with.
you know what? Unfortunately, I don't. That's not around where I live, where they hide it pretty well. So I just.
I saw you guys putting the Bunsen burners away when I came in here.
Oh, that's
so
funny.
Yeah, but yeah. So basically, you keep them in those containers. You label what kind of yeast they are. You put them in the fridge, then the temperature makes them sleep. Oh, yeah. And once the temperature gets back to room temperature, they start freaking looking for sugar and they start going crazy.
Yeah. You know, I'd like to point out that kudos to me and you, Fonzo, from reframing from women jokes throughout the whole yeast process. It's very mature of us. I was biting my lip, but no one jokes get job on.
Yeah. I think that's how they make beer in jail, in the women's jail.
You're shit on this.
You know, I'm like, but you're talking about angry yeast, and you're talking about the kicks on it, and then it's longer lasting, and I'm like, different times of yeast. What kind of different flavors of brew have you brewed?
I've actually made almost everything you can think of. So usually what I have, the way I usually start, if I have a beer that I really like, and then I'll just, you know, take some time really, you know, getting to know the beer and get the flavors out of it. And then I just go to work and start putting it together. It takes a couple of tries and then I'm pretty close to it.
Is it like a sample size that you do, and then once you get the taste you want, you go into?
Yeah, exactly. Room? Yeah. So almost any kind of beer. I've made red ales, IPAs, lagers, you know, stouts, porters, you name it.
I see a cooler there. Did you bring some
for
the show?
Yeah, I did, actually. Yeah. I had a black IPA. It's one of the ones that, you know, all the friends and family members really love. It's up there in ABV. It's closer to 7.5%. So it has a big punch. It's nice and chocolatey. It has a lot of chocolate grain in it. But at the same time, it has a whole shitload of freaking hops. So I brought some Stone IPA just because it has the same type of hop profile. Because what happens is when you drink a certain amount of hops, your taste buds get adjusted to those hops. Then you have something else, and then you don't taste anything else but hops. So I'm bringing another beer now that's going to be really hoppy. It's going to complement what you guys just had, but it's going to be on the chocolatey side.
All right. Black IPA. It's a black IPA with a lot of hops.
You guys,
is it called the NBA beer or what?
I guess I'm going to pop it open.
Cool. Have you named this?
No, just a black IPA. I had a buddy of mine that passed out with it, and he called it the blackout IPA, but, you know, maybe that'll stick out.
Oh, nice.
So what kind of hops are they, cascading or what?
So actually, yeah, that's a really good guess. It actually, the majority of the hops are Cascade hops.
Yeah, that's what everybody uses,
and
right?
Then there's a Centennial that I throw in there for aroma hops, which is the difference with mine. And also, I've added quite a bit of chocolate malt instead of the Crystal 120 grain, which tends to give it a little bit more astringent, a little bit more of a sour taste.
All right. It's awesome.
Pardon the pounding on the table. That's just our mugs that seem to be heavy.
Hey, so Alfonso, you see your brew before? Or
Yeah, I brewed before.
Yeah, that's what have you made?
Man, we just tried to make whatever the recipe was, you know, just like some sort of like lagers and ales and stuff. Nothing too crazy. I mean, okay. We just went strictly off of
Recipes?
Off of recipes. I never
all
have.
All grain, or did you guys do extract?
No, extract. It was all extract. I mean, yeah. We were just trying it out, see what
How
we
did it
did.
Turn out?
It wasn't that great. I mean,
were there off flavors or was it?
Yeah, it was a little bit off, and the colors were a little like milky and stuff, or not too clear, and it just I think it was probably the fact that we weren't buying nice bottles. We were literally like getting like those 50-cent 2-liter bottles, emptying them those out, cleaning them really well, and then just putting them in there.
You know, when I started the first two batches, I screwed up. And it was all around sanitation.
Yeah, that's like the most important. That's like the hardest part.
And we were actually, before we came here, me and this guy were talking about it because he was there. And we were making his beer. And it was the third beer, actually. So we already had screwed up a couple beers. And this guy over here shows up to my house. Like, dude, we're going to go for the third one. Third one's a charm. We're going to make this happen, right? So we're like short of freaking wearing fucking Ebola freaking, you know, suits, right?
And the hazmat? The hazmat
yeah, suits? Dude, you name it, right? And we had everything down to the book. And we get down to the point that we're basically transferring the wort over to a fermentation container.
Mind you, we've been drinking it this whole time.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course.
Beautiful.
What do you do?
Great.
You're making beer. You drink beer, right? Yeah. So we're pretty wasted with this guy. So we're freaking on it, right? And we're freaking high-fiving each other and shit, and we're going at it. And then as soon as we're pouring the wort in, this guy turns around and grabs the scissors to cut the yeast pack, and he drops the scissors into the freaking wort. And it was like a freaking dirty old pair of scissors. I was like, seriously, dude, I
we
never.
We just look at each other like, what the fuck
is I never get another man the freaking dirtiest look I gave this guy, dude. I wanted to kill him, man. And
that's hilarious.
So I stuck my hand into some sanitizer, and then I stuck my hand into the beer and I took it out. I was like, dude, this beer is so fucking done.
We
kept going with it. And, you know, we put it, you know, I kegged the beer and I did my thing after the fact. So we named it Chinook with Chino Brown, right? Because we're in Chino and we call it Chinook with Chino Brown. And this Chinook with Chino Brown actually turned out to be one of the best beers I made. But it was really good. So this guy was talking about making some more and finding those old pair of scissors
and
throwing it in.
It in there. There you go.
I'm not sure if it's an urban legend or not, but Guinness had something like that too, that their flavor, everybody loved Guinness. I mean, everybody loves Guinness, right? So that when they cleaned out the brewing, the big-ass container, that there was rats, dead rats inside of it gave it flavor. So they had to reformulate the way that they made Guinness to give it that rat dead flavor.
Yeah, I've heard that, and that's in the beginning, no one would buy it or drink it because it tasted different.
It tasted different,
and so they went back to the brewery, and then they found because they bought the recipe, but they didn't buy the brewery, so they were complaining. They're like, "Dude, you gave us the wrong recipe. This doesn't taste like what you guys make." And then not until they got the tour of the brewery did they find all that stuff, all those
right? Rats and stuff in the thing. So I was like, oh shit! So we're tasting
scissory, scissor. It's like scissor rest beer.
You know, actually, one of the beers that actually got me really interested in making beer was Guinness. Yep. I love Guinness, right? So this guy went to the military. He was in Iraq, and he did two tours. And when he was out there, sending him an email, say, hey, you know what, dude, if you make it back on time and we're gonna party it up. And and he was supposed to come back like after like 11 months, and they ended up saying for another tour. And I was like, you bastard, or whatever, right? So he came back finally like 2 years after, and I was like, dude, you know, let's take a trip together. So we went to Ireland.
Beautiful.
And we went out to Ireland, and we went to the Guinness Brewery. Guinness.
Did you guys go to the top?
Yeah. To the Gravity Bar, right? So you've been there.
Yeah.
And we actually had a blast, man. It was freaking amazing. And then I got to really pretend in the morning to wake up, right? And we smell the freaking the barley cooking. We were like, dude, this is freaking great, dude. I was like, you know, especially when it makes beer. Like, you wake up every morning, you smell beer.
It's like
this
bacon.
Is freaking That was like the best feeling in the world, dude.
That's
awesome. Yeah.
I always wanted to get Guinness certified so you can, like, for the porn.
Yeah, for the porn, right? Yeah, there were some guys that were making, like, you know, they were making
clovers
all kinds of crazy stuff on the foam. It was
that's freaking awesome. I just went maybe a couple weeks ago to the Firestone Brewing. That place is awesome, too. Yeah. We went with, it was four of us. So they open at 11 o'clock. And we were driving up to Avila Beach. So before that, I always wanted to go to Firestone. So the guy goes, hey, how you guys doing? You guys want anything? I'm like, yeah, give me one of everything. So he gave us a tester of every single thing. He looked at me, and he goes, all right, he's with people. So he gave me, because he said you can only get four or whatever. And then I want one of all of it. And he's like, all right. So he's just pouring all the beers. It looked amazing. I have a picture of all the beers in a row.
Rad.
All the little testers. They were really good.
Yeah, like fucking Mexicans.
It was 11 o'clock, dude. It's 12 somewhere, right?
Yeah,
it's noon somewhere. So I was drinking all those beers in the morning. It was pretty awesome.
Oh, nice.
That place is pretty cool.
I'm sorry.
No.
Good. Gabe, so what's next, man? What are you what's in the middle of being brewed? What are you looking to do?
So my father-in-law is actually retiring. And he actually asked me to make the beer for his party. So I spent the last, I would say, about 3 months making beer for him. So we got a total of about 25 gallons of beer that I've made. I started off with actually made an experimental brew for him. We have a coconut vanilla porter. I actually brought in some vanilla beans that were actually vanilla beans. I never actually seen vanilla beans until now. And
expensive, huh?
Yeah, they sure are. And then we also brought in some coconut shavings that we had dried up. I got those at Trader Joe's. And I actually made a five-gallon batch of that. And then I made a 10-gallon batch of a beer that I really, really love. And it's basically honey. It is green tea. And it is a pale ale.
What is that, meat or what? Are you making meat over here?
it's great, man. And it's one of those beers that's kind of, you know, I'm trying to, you know, promote it as being healthy because it has antioxidants, you know, from the green tea. But it gets you jacked up. It's about 7% or so. It's a beautiful beer. Wow. And then I also made one of their favorites, one of the a blonde. So just a basic blonde for those folks.
Everybody's
that are,
favorite.
Yeah, you know.
Blonde.
So I made quite a bit of beer. I have fermentation tanks. I have these coolers that I've converted to be able to remain at a constant temperature. And I have heaters in there in case it gets too cold. And it works out really well. So I have a total of about 25 gallons of beer right now. I was going to get tapped. The ones you guys are drinking, this is literally the last couple of bottles that I had of this. It's one of my, you know, most popular ones that everybody asked for. It's a black IPA. This is literally, I would say, one of the last two bottles I was able to get out of the keg.
Sweet.
So, thank you.
So what do you guys think of the beer? Lucky.
It's good.
It was good, yeah.
Yeah.
It's you feel like you can almost, then that's my favorite. That's what I like. When you almost need a spoon for it. That's what I like. I like it thick and just it's a good taste in beer. Good job, yeah. Man.
I guess because of the stone, I didn't really, it wasn't, the hops wasn't overpowering. So it feels like a session beer where I can just keep drinking.
Yeah, that was the whole point.
Yeah.
That's why I give you guys that to cleanse your palate and get your palate used to the hops.
Yeah, so I was just like, oh, damn, this is easy.
You know, you can keep drinking this that's all the dangerous day. Part, though. If I had more of it, you guys would be in trouble.
That's pretty cool.
So if
those stairs on the way down would be a problem.
Would be a problem, right? Yeah. If you had the opportunity to commercialize, is that something that you're interested in?
Yeah, actually, I am. So just recently, I've been actually looking for that. So looking for some investors to be able to, you know, help me out. At this point, I got a couple investors that just recently I found out about, and they're pretty serious about it. So I want to start actually just opening up a place that's going to be commercial industrial. You don't need the curb appeal like you used to in the past. Everything's internet-based now, right? So you're on Yelp, people will find you. If you're on Yelp and you're craft beer, people want craft beer in your area, they're going to find you. They're going to drive anywhere. They're going to go through all the industrial park areas and find you.
Gotcha.
So I want to find a place, an industrial park area, set it up, have a tasting room, and be able to do Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays brew. You know, have it available for people to drink and have a good time, and then do your 9 to 5 the rest of the week. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at now. So I got a couple investors that are interested. You know, I got to get all the equipment. I got to get the liquor license. I got to get all that work. So it's going to be, I would say, probably 8 months to a year by the time I actually have an operational place. But once I have something operating, I would love you guys to go out there and maybe do a show at the brewery.
Hell yeah.
And in the middle of the brewing process, and you guys be able to get a taste of what's goes on in the middle of a brewery.
Have you read the Dogfish Head's book?
You know what? It's funny you asked that, because that was actually part of the business plan I'm putting together for one of the investors. Yeah. I needed to put down the equipment, and one of the equipments is this thing called the Sapco Magic Brew something. And as I'm looking at this machine, he has a video about the machine. And as I listen to the video, he starts bringing up his book and how when he first started, he was using this machine that he was promoting to make beer, and how he wrote this book about the whole process when he started making beer. And I've been, you know, thinking about actually picking it up.
Yeah, it's really good, dude. I highly recommend it. How he all started, how he made everything from scratch.
Yeah.
But there's a couple guys here what's the name of the park? We used to play baseball at off the 60.
Whittier Narrows?
Whittier Narrows. There's a brewery right there, too. They made all of their equipment by themselves.
Yeah. And that's part of the spirit of being a home brewer.
Yeah.
You make your own equipment. Like right now, like going on my garage, all my equipment is homemade, dude. It's crazy.
That's pretty
cool.
So
I took a old fridge, drilled some holes through it, put some taps into it. I got some old Pepsi kegs. You know, I converted those in for beer. Nice. You know, I got those going on. I took an old keg, drilled some holes through it. I took it to some local welder, cost me $30. He put in some freaking connections for me, and that's my freaking brewing pot instead of paying $400 for one. You know, I created my own freaking pumping system. It's crazy. It's like you start getting into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you start really getting into it, and then you start creating your own process, your own equipment that's costing you a fraction of the cost than going professional. And you get everything at Home Depot.
Yeah,
it's like do it yourself.
But the welding marks and all that stuff looks amazing, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
It gives a character.
Yeah, it does. It does. It's pretty cool. I like that whole brewing stuff. So yeah, dude. Whenever you're freaking, I want to go check that out.
Yeah,
if you don't mind, I want to check out your spot.
Yeah, hell yeah.
That'd be cool.
I like that, Gabe.
Oh, one question. Do you guys like what? Why is IPA so popular in the West Coast?
So IPA is the term IPA is Indian Pale Ale, right? Indian Pale Ale was created when folks were going over through a slavery trade, and they needed a beer that would last through the long voyages in the ships. And what hops do, it not only gives it the bitter flavor of beer, but it preserves your beer, right? So then in order to preserve those beers in those long voyages, they would just inject it with tons and tons of hops, right? What ended up happening... certain countries where they would come in, IPAs became very popular, like South Africa and whatnot, right? So this continued. So people would travel long ways and they would have IPAs because the beer would actually last long. And as you know, if you run out of fresh water, what's the next best thing you could have? That's beer. You go to Mexico, you don't drink the water, you drink the beer, right? Yeah. So the same kind of idea, right? So it's preserved, it's drinkable, and it's something you could drink and keep you going. So what happened here in the States was that there's very few areas that you could grow hops and that has the environment for the hops. It's just like the grape industry. There's very few areas in the States that you could grow hop grapes because of the environment. Temecula being one, and you know, up in Napa Valley being another one. Same thing with hops, like Portland, Oregon, and whatnot. So the industry for hops is really concentrated in California and parts of Oregon and Washington. So that being the West Coast, we had the most amount of supply. Then people started fucking around with their beer and started throwing all kinds of hops in it because they had it laying around. And then, hence, there you go. You know, West Coast IPAs came up.
Sierra Nevada.
Down in New Orleans where everything's fine, all them cats is drinking that wine, drinking that mess, their delight. When it gets drunk, start singing all night, drinking wine, spoody, you to drink wine,
mop, mop,
wine, spoody, you to drink wine,
mop, mop,
wine, spoody, you to drink wine,
mop, mop.
Pass that bottle to me. Drinking that mess, their delight. When it gets drunk, start fighting all night, knocking down the windows and tearing out doors, drinking half a gallon and calling for more. Drinking wine, spooty, to drink wine,
mop, mop.
Wine, spooty, to drink wine,
mop, mop.
Wine, spooty, to drink wine,
mop, mop.
Pass that bottle to me. Hoy, hoy, hoy.
Wine, wine, wine.
Elderberry.
Wine, wine, wine.
Or cherry.
Wine, wine, wine.
Blackberry.
Wine, wine, wine.
Half and half.
Wine, wine, wine.
Oh boy, pass that bottle to me. If you wanna get along, New Orleans town, buy some wine and pass it all around. Age runs up, 49. All those cats, they love sweet wine. Drinking wine's for you to drink wine.
Mop, mop.
Wine's for you to drink wine.
Mop, mop.
Wine's for you to drink wine.
Mop, mop.
Pass that bottle to me. Hoy, hoy.
Wine, wine, wine.
Elderberry.
Wine, wine, wine.
Port cherry.
Wine, wine, wine.
Blackberry.
Wine, wine, wine.
Half and half.
Wine, wine, wine.
Oh boy, pass that bottle to me. Drink that slop.
All right, that's what I'm talking about.
Dude, yes.
We are with the Brewmaster Gabe.
The Brewmaster, dude.
Holding strong, man. You still haven't left.
You're good. Yeah, surviving.
Josh, how you holding up, man?
All right, man. Staying in there.
How's life hanging out with the Brewmaster?
Dude, it's fucking just a drunken nightmare.
Okay. That's okay. Awesome. That's cool. One good, one bad. Drunk is good. Nightmare is bad. Yeah, Fonz, what do you have for us here?
All right, dude. I'm pulling out all the stops today for the brewer.
Yeah, for the brewer.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Well, so I've had this in like a closet trying to age this stuff. You know, you got to keep it cool and stuff. So I got this beer in 2007. It's called the Fuller's Vintage Ale, limited edition, 10th anniversary. It's even numbered, dude. It's numbered.
What?
It's numbered. So I pulled this out.
And you're just going to show it to us, right? You're not going to really open it?
Hey, you got to drink this stuff, dude. You know, you got to drink it. It's like, you know, before it goes bad or before it gets skunked out and stuff, you got to drink the good stuff. You got to drink.
That's right.
Right? You got to drink. You can't save this stuff. You might die tomorrow.
That's true.
And then you're like, fuck, I didn't drink that shit.
And the beer's just standing there.
Yeah, just there. It's like laughing
IRS
at you.
Takes it. You didn't put that beer in your trust so that IRS takes
IRS
it.
Takes it.
Fuck it.
Jab Chino PD, dude. I'll take it.
We got to drink your shit.
Fonzo, okay. What? Vintage ale.
Vintage ale, it's bottled condition, so you know what that means right there.
Yeah.
There's little guys on the bottom of this guy.
Oh, yeah.
So there's
little
yeast.
Old guys.
Little old guys. They're fossilized in here. Some yeast. So let's try this open, man. Let's drink some of this shit right
let's
here.
Let's do it.
It's 8.5. It's pretty good.
Good.
Let's try this.
Well, Fonz opens it. I'll just talk about how I how can I say it? I categorize my alcohol content to strength of earthquakes. So, like, if I look at a bottle and it says 5.5, I'm like, I do those all the time in California. It's cool. If I get, like, a Steel Reserve 9.0, I'm like,
oh, shit.
Shit's falling. Shit's falling. Like, or Duvel or Chimay, right? And then it's, like, 10.0. I'm like, I'm going to be a disaster tonight. Sometimes, like, alcohol content to earthquake to Richter scale. There you go. Alcohol content to Richter scale.
Beer, dude. Yeah, you got something going on. Hey,
that's you know, that's how I kind of rationalize or put together like how strong that beer is.
That would
be
actually kind of cool to have at a brew pub, dude. Fucking Richter scale of
beers. Yeah.
Beers. That would be pretty badass.
You know, I lived in Utah for about 4 years. So.
Oh, Utah.
The regular beer you would buy in the grocery stores was 3.5. And I was like, dude, I can get pee in the toilet at 3.5. This ain't doing shit to me.
Like a lick of toad.
Yeah. All right, Fonz.
Let's try this out. Let's do this.
Toast to what, Fonz?
To aging beer.
To aging beer. gently.
Hey.
There you go. Beautiful.
It's actually not. Yeah, it's pretty.
It tastes
good.
Fruity.
Yeah.
Wow. It's 7 years old. Oh, I hope it's 7 years old.
Just like a double IPA.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
Well, Brewmaster, what do you think?
Yeah, it's actually, you know, the first thing you get hit with is it looks like it was barreled in the wine barrels. So you get the taste and the feel of a little bit of wine from the wine barrels, also a little bit of the wood. You could get a little bit of the pruny taste from the yeast, and absolutely the character has been developed from just being put away in your closet, dude.
Yeah, pretty good. I should have got more. Well, they have these at BevMo, and they come in a little box, and they're ready to go, like
for storage.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're ready to go. That. Not in like so they never seen the light of day, you know.
Yeah.
Come in its own little box. You just store them away.
Cool.
Forget about it. Box them up.
Hey,
let's do it.
Speaking of which, hey, Brewmaster. Wine. You need like a wine cellar, certain temperature. Do you need to do that with beer or no?
No, not really. At least from my experience, if you put them in the room temperature, it's okay.
Okay.
Whatever you don't want to do with beer, though, is expose it to sunlight.
Mm.
The moment you expose to sunlight, it turns skunk. So you think of a really popular beer that everybody drinks that tends to be really skunky, and that is Corona.
Yep.
You got a clear bottle. It's exposed to I don't know how many hours of sunlight.
Mexican sun. And then Chicago sun, because that's
Chicago
where it's distributed.
Sun, and then,
Chicago,
you know,
sun. That sun never goes to Chicago. Come on, sun.
And that's why you got to put a bunch of lime in it to make it taste good. So,
got you.
So whatever you want to do is make sure you have it somewhere dark, somewhere nice and cool.
But isn't like Corona even a German beer in itself, like the style?
It's a, I thought it was a Pilsner lager.
Oh, Pilsner. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, it could be origin from German type of beer, type of brewing.
Yeah.
You know, Mexican brewers, what they like to do is they like to add corn to their beer, which is something that would make a lot of sense. You know, being in Mexico, there's an abundance of corn. So the corn gives it a very distinctive taste in Mexican beers like you have from Coronas and, you know, Modelos and all that. So, if you're making your own beer, you want to make a Corona beer, you would get a little bag of corn powder that you put into your into your mash.
Oh,
and it gives it that type of flavor. Just like the Germans, they like to put oatmeal into their beer because it gives it that kind of mouthful feel.
Malt,
yeah, yeah.
All right, nice. Hey, okay, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Germans, talked about that. Mexicans, corn. If you had the duty to make, because even the American beer, the great American beer, Budweiser, is like German, borrowed from Czechoslovakia.
So now sold back to the German.
Now sold back to the German. So if your assignment, Brewmaster, was like called upon, hey, Brewmaster, make the great American beer, what would be the ingredient to make it? What would personify American culture?
So, you know, my personal opinion, an American beer is not the beer that you guys are used to drinking as a lager, like a Budweiser or a Miller or a Miller Lite or a Coors Light. To me, that is watered down crap that people have been.
Hey, this is an international show, man.
It's watered down crap that we've been told that it is something you're supposed to drink.
Gotcha.
Right? And your palate has been trained to enjoy that.
By commercials.
And girls with big tits.
And dogs.
Or dogs making tricks.
Or friends who are bigger than you and just say, trick it.
Trick it, bitch. Pour it. So I would say the all-American beer would be going back to your forefathers, you know, here in the States, being that it was an ale. Back then, they didn't have refrigeration. They didn't have all the equipment needed to lager. So they would actually make their beer during the cold months of the winter. And they would use ale type of yeast and materials to make ale beer. So you're talking about beers that would be a little darker, a little bit more on a higher in the taste profile with the hops. But at the same time, it wasn't going to be clear. It wasn't going to be fizzy. It wasn't going to be, you know, your local Miller Lite beer.
All right.
Yeah.
You actually gave me a very sound answer to that. I would have taken like the skin of a baseball.
Oh, there you go. Like
brewed in wood chips of a baseball bat. But like, no, that. Thank you.
So
that's a great answer.
Which one is the?
That's what happens. You give me beer, dude.
I love it. Well, then the show now becomes interesting.
So which one is like your top brewing in California? Like,
yeah.
If you have to brewing. Go like, yeah. Like you're like you, yeah. I mean, you're a brewer. So you know what to look for, what to taste, what it takes to clean a fucking, a brewery. Cause that's like the biggest number one issue is to clean shit.
Oh yeah.
The
cleanliness makes you or breaks you.
Yeah.
You could spend hours making a beer and it could be beautiful.
And then you drop scissors in.
And then you drop dirty scissors like my friend did over here. And then your whole shit's done. And you could be wearing a goddamn Ebola hazmat suit. And it still wouldn't freaking be the difference. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, so cleaning is definitely a big deal. So, but I would say one of the breweries that has blown me away, and this was about 8 years ago, and now it's actually pretty popular, is Russian River.
Oh, up north?
Anything that Russian River pulls out from Sonoma has been amazing. I've tried the Pliny the Elder.
You went over there? Oh, you have? Yeah, you waited in line for that?
No, I didn't actually went in line. Actually, I was lucky enough that my work sent me out there to do a conference. Oh, and nice. I was speaking out there, and I was at a hotel, and I was in Sonoma. And I felt really weird because I walked in. It was nothing but wine glasses and wine bottles everywhere. And I was in Sonoma County, right? And I told the guy, I was like, hey, you know, I don't want to get lynched or anything out here, but I'm more of a beer guy. Do you have any beer? He was like, do I? And he comes out and pulls out a Pliny the Elder bottle. I was like, what the hell is this? You know, and he poured it down for me. I was like, dude. I was like, once you go Pliny, you'll never go back. I was like, all right. So, so I tried it. I was blown away. I was
is
like,
it?
Wow,
is it that good?
It's amazing. It's fantastic.
All, yeah.
And then and also they have the Pliny the Younger, which is even
all the time now.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to find. During that time, it was a little easier because it wasn't as popular. Now it's like, freaking hitting the lotto.
Yeah, when a bar gets a keg here, it's like gone. There's a line. There's a line out there. And it's like they count every glass that people, like you can only get one, you know, just one.
Well, some
person.
People actually buy it and then they go online to put it for sale and they double the price.
Yeah.
So there's people like, you know, they're like, you know. It's like making money out of it.
It's like toys for Christmas. Yeah, like you buy them and they sell out.
It's
like,
good beer, though. I mean, I wouldn't get in line. It's fantastic.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't get in line, though, if I could wait freaking 8 hours for a beer. Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Go on.
I would just go and spend the 8 hours making my freaking keg of it. You know, I could make it myself at
home. Like you said, once you decipher what's in there.
Yeah, exactly.
I just need to backtrack a little bit. So you talk in hotels and they call that a conference? Because I talk in hotels and they call that disturbing the peace. So I don't know where what's the difference here. Like, you know. But that's pretty cool. We'll talk about that after the show. We'll talk about that.
So did you guys do anything interesting for Halloween?
Halloween, man. No, I did not. I did not. I hung out and just... Went to a friend's house, Justin. He was on the boat show.
Yeah.
And I just went to his house, drank a couple brews, passed out, watched the Lakers and Clippers, watched the Laker-Clipper game, and nothing crazy. How about you?
No, I didn't do shit, but watch scary movies.
There you go. You guys brew beer, I imagine.
No, I took the girls out. I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. They went to trick-or-treating.
That's fun, dude. What'd you dress them up as? Because they don't pick yet, right? They don't pick
one? No, actually, one of them did. My oldest one, she was watching TV with me, and she was complaining because I was watching the old Batman series.
Oh, sweet.
And then she's like, who's that girl? And I was like, oh, that's Catwoman. That's what I want to be for Halloween. I was like, hell yeah, dude. All right. So she got dressed up like Catgirl and Catwoman. And then my youngest one wanted to be Minnie Mouse. She's only two. So we ended up walking around my in-laws' neighborhood because it's a lot nicer and people actually give you good candy and open their doors. So so we went there. We had a good time and enjoyed it. Had some craft beer with my in-laws.
So
and,
what candy did you steal from your kids?
Snickers.
Oh, honey, I don't think this one's good anymore.
That's my Snickers bar.
That's funny you said that because when I was getting ready to go to Justin's house, Robin had came back from work and we were getting ready. I'm like, dude, hurry up, man. It's going to get dark. We don't have any candy. Like, we need to close all the doors, all the windows, and because we were leaving a party, so there's no reason to buy candy. But it was getting closer. We're like, the kids are going to start coming around. We're like, we need to be out of the house. People are going to start knocking. So, cuckoo. Well, Halloween.
Yeah.
I got a Halloween story for you guys. Uh-oh. You guys ready for this?
Do it.
This is like...
Is it a horror story, like where there's no beer?
Yes,
that's a hard.
But
story
I'm right glad there. I didn't.
The kid got tapped.
Actually, I'm glad I didn't. But I wish that I. Do I need to put it back? I'm glad I didn't, but I definitely needed it after the happenstance. So Halloween was Friday, correct? Friday,
yeah.
And so Wednesday morning.
Just yesterday, bro.
Just yesterday. it's a long show. Yeah, Wednesday morning, I get up and I had to be at work at 6. I'm getting up and I'm driving. I'd probably been awake for about 30 to 40 minutes. I get out of bed. Are you guys familiar with the 605 freeway?
Yeah.
You know how it ends right to go into Orange County?
Yeah.
And ends at the 405. Yeah. So Long Beach is there, so you can get 605 north. And I was working my way up toward Downey. And so I'm driving up there. And there's a park in between called El Dorado Park, big giant park.
By Studebaker, right?
Yeah, around that area. Exactly. And lately, maybe as the last 6 months, there's just been a bunch of coyotes infiltrating the beach area. Why are there coyotes in the beach? Weird. Yeah. So anyway, you can probably see where this is going.
They're looking for the Roadrunner.
They're looking for the Roadrunner. That dude is in New Mexico, man. There are no Roadrunners and no Acme products.
There's an Acme store around in Long Beach.
Yeah, exactly. So I get on the 605 and I'm driving up north. I'm like, so if you have to think about it, the El Dorado Park is to the west, and I'm driving north, which is the forest east lane. So, and I'm not even on the fast lane. I'm on the second to fast lane. So I'm driving, and the car in front of me, freaking, I see the brake lights on it. And I'm like, what the hell? Why is it slowing down? I mean, everyone's going about 70, 75 because it's that early in the morning. And I'm like, why is it slowing down? And I look, and I see this, this random body, like, in front of the car. And it, like, gets out of the way of the car. Like, and the car, like, it barely veers to the left as it jumps to the right. And then I'm like, what the fuck is that? Like, what is that? And then I see it, like, it's on all fours, and then it jumps to, like, the lane to the right. But there's a bunch of cars. So there's cars going that way. So the fucking coyote, then I see him, like, it's on all fours. First of all, there's no deer out here. And this thing's about a 65, 70 pound.
Dude, are you going to fucking help me, fucker, or what?
Dude, this fucker decides the car on the right lane's coming. So the coyote decides to get out of that car's way and jumps back into my lane. And so as I'm driving, I'm like, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And then I'm like, I look in my mirror. I'm like, I can't swerve. Like, I have to go straight. Don't fucking do it. And it fucking jumps back. And I get head and shoulder of the coyote on my right headlight.
But before you hit him, he goes, eep.
Yeah.
With the little sign.
Feet, and the feet moving. The feet moving in the air. Like, without. Yeah. It's like they took the ground underneath it, right? And dude, I fucking get shoulder and head on my right headlight. The fucking head explodes, dude.
Damn.
Boom! Dude, the head explodes. The shoulder fucking, I mean, you just feel like it's just this crushing blow, right? And because it's on the right side, I see it, but then I have my rear view mirror right next to there, right? So when I see from the rear view mirror, I see like a body bag of just headless mass freaking rotate about 4 feet up in the air and just plop and like dead, like fall in between the freeway lanes. I have been up for 30 minutes, dude. And so it was just like, what the fuck just happened right now? And then I was like, what should I do? Like, I mean, I'm on the freeway. I'm not like on a residential. I can't be like,
yeah, pull over.
Yeah, I'm like, and I'm still driving. So I'm still going fast. I'm like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And I'm like, I don't think there's anything you can do. What do I do? And then
pull over and drink a beer.
At this point, at this point, I'm convinced because that, and this is what I saw. It's recorded, and this is what I do believe. It was on four. Like it jumped, and it was on four. And I was in my head. I was like, okay, mental check. There, this thing was not on two legs. It had four legs. Because I was like, because it was just, it was a blow, dude. It was a hard blow. And so, when I finally got off my exit, I just pulled over to the gas station. I was like, fuck. Let me see. Is it trapped under my tire or no? But my car is kind of low. So
hand come out.
Headlight, headlight destroyed. Right bumper gone. Sure. Front hood dented in, and the bottom grill just destroyed, dude.
Wow.
And hair, coyote hair all over the glass. And I was like, what? It's not like I can go ask the dead coyote, hey, really quick before you die, what was your insurance? What? Did you pay for this shit? So I fucking, yeah, exactly. So I ended up going to work and I'm sitting there and then every time I see it, like I saw it before I jumped into work. When I got out of work, I see it again. Well, anyway, I was only there.
So every time you turn your car on, it smells like barbecue.
Smells like fucking, it smells like coyote jerky. But then I was like, I felt bad because do you guys know the protocol? Like if you hit an animal
you're
over 50 feet.
You're supposed to pull over, you're supposed to call.
No, you're not.
Really?
See, you don't know. I didn't know either.
I thought you were supposed to pull over and call.
Well, there's here. This is gonna be interesting. What I was able to find because of that. So anyway, I drive back, and here's my first rational thought because I had no idea what you do. I was like, all right, I'm driving back. This is because I was there for an hour, and I was like, all right, if there's like an ambulance or some sort of weird truck, then I'll pull over. But if traffic is still going like normal, then I don't. They're in the KTLA news van there that I'm cool. And I'm like, so far, so good. So far, so good. And then there was nothing there. So cool, whatever. I went home and I was so pissed. I called my insurance, took the car to the shop and all that shit. Then I finally had some time, free time of my own. And I was like, fuck. All right. Well, I don't want to get in trouble later by what happens. Let me just kind of start doing some research on what happens, what you should do. And so anyway, I started looking and I just Googled like what happens after you hit a coyote on the freeway or what, whatever. And so I guess what you're supposed to do is if you hit something that's pretty big, you're supposed to get out of your car, grab it and drag it to the side of the road because a lot of other scavenger animals are going to come and eat it.
Oh,
and then other people are going to hit and then it's going to cause more accidents. It's Los Angeles, and it's the 605 freeway. I mean, you can't get out. Yeah. No, but you can't get out. What am I like? Hold on, everyone. Fucking don't hit me.
Just do what the cops do and start swerving like
swerving,
this.
Swerving, yeah, exactly.
Slow everybody down.
Yeah.
That's
Ebola. It would have been all of the last 3 years. It would have been ISIS, Ebola, terrorists, anthrax, and a bunch of shit, right? I was like, yeah, that's not going to happen. And then I look for like any kind of laws or regulation and no, and there's like a, Department of Transportation. When they see it, they'll let the I guess there's a sanitation department.
Come pick up
probably where your scissors are. The ones you dropped in the fucking beer.
Cochino Brown.
Yeah, exactly.
Those flavor scissors, right?
Yeah. and they clean that shit up and whatever that happens. But just to rule things out. Just to rule things out because, you know, you want to be in the clear, which was probably the most scariest thing out of this whole thing of watching the fucking deer blow or the coyote blow up. Yeah, just, I mean, the whole shoulder and up just boom. You know what it reminded me of? Like, you know those first person games when you shoot and then like they put the blood on the sides
like
of your screen.
Tarantino movie.
Yeah.
Right? Look at blood gushing
but
out.
To rule everything out, I wrote, recent deaths on the 605 freeway. And I was like, please no click. And I was like, yes. Nothing. No. That ruled out like that. What scared me when it was fucking fat, dude. Like, why would it do that kind of damage to my car if it's like a pup dog size?
But you know what? I actually hit a deer. I was going up in Moraga.
For sure.
And then the head popped out. And it turned around and looked at me.
During the headlights.
Bam! I hit it. And it hit my headlight. The front of my car was destroyed, dude.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a human being. It was just a freaking deer.
Oh, and it was just
the
head.
The head exploded. Yeah. And then it just jacked up the whole fender.
Yeah.
My wheel couldn't
turn.
Was
this the Mustang or the...
No. I had my Honda Civic. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. It was bad, dude.
Yeah. I that was... And then coyotes in a beach city. What the fuck is that?
Hey, dude, forget the beach life, bro.
Sign of the times, man. Yeah. You know who he was looking for? Acne sunblock. acne sunblock.
That's funny.
Yeah, so that was my that was 2 days before Halloween.
He's looking
Halloween.
For those cougars, man. That's
yeah,
what he's looking
that's
for.
What he was looking
by the beach,
for.
By the beach.
A lot funner with the cougars.
Hitting the coyote was scary. Finding out my deductible was more scary. My deductible was like, motherfucker. Yeah.
You should have stopped and kicked the damn coyote for having you pay that much.
Yeah,
right?
No, go back. No, you know what? Move. And yeah, I will plug this because I have a really good insurance and maybe you have it. Acne. Nice. Acne. It's fucking awesome. Do you know my agent? Agent Fudd? I'm a Fudd? He's my agent.
Nice to talk a lot.
USAA. Yeah. You know, he's like, a lot. Although that's, isn't that Porky Pig? That's Merry Melodies. USAA. Do you have USAA?
Yeah.
You can do everything through USAA. It's awesome. And anyway, that's my Halloween horror story. The deductible, not the coyote. The fucking
story about
it. Well, man, yeah. Gabe the brewmaster, Josh the brewmaster accomplice, Fonz.
Me.
And me. Thanks for talking. Thanks for giving me.
And Walt.
And me.
And Walt and you.
It's been a great show, man. We wow, beer. All
beer.
Things beer,
all
man.
All things beer.
Gabe, Josh, on a serious note, thanks for coming out. We really appreciate it. And it's been fun to catch up.
It's been great, dude.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it was a blast, dude.
All right. Fonz?
Hey, let's do this again.
All right. Wow. Yeah,
31.
It's November.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's fucking November. Get out of here.